Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Trust the Tape, episode 3. Not episode 10,971.
No, don't trick anybody out there.
Episode 3 of the 2020 version of Trust the Tape. Jeff Cavanaugh at JC1053 on Twitter, alongside the great Brian Broaddus at Brian Broaddus on Twitter.
Ola, ola,
he of the actual running NFL drafts and working in front offices.
Wait. Why am I here with you then? I must not have been very good at that, huh?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Brian. It's probably because you're very blunt. You know, I did get in trouble a lot
for being too blunt.
Yeah.
People don't like my bluntness.
Yeah. That's okay. That's why.
How did you? Let me ask you real quick. And hey, thanks for having me on again, as always.
Not thanks for having you on. You're the co-host.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be here every week.
I appreciate that too. But when did you realize that I was so blunt? In the drafting world, when we were starting.
It didn't take long because at first I thought.
You went from being kind of intimidated by me to being like, F you, Broaddus. I am not putting up with that crap.
Yeah, at first I thought you were just kind of a mean guy.
Yeah.
And then through therapy, I learned there's nothing wrong with being assertive. And whatever it is that you think, go ahead and own that. And I was like, oh, Brian's just really comfortable with what he thinks. He owns everything he thinks.
Oh.
And so now I realize.
That's why I'm working with you today. Because instead of keeping my big fat mouth shut, I should have just... You know, that's what I should have done. And I'd probably be sitting in a war room right now trying to figure out Senior Bowl tape, right?
Yeah, you could have yes, sir, no, sir, your way to stay at the top. Just didn't work out for you.
Didn't work out for me that well, did it? All right.
So the plan for today's Trust the Tape is...
God, what a buffoon.
A lot of things. Brian, you don't have a five-hour radio show every day.
Yeah, how does that feel for you?
At least at this point.
Yeah. Oh, what, he's breaking news?
No, I'll just check back. but at least at this point, you don't.
All right.
Which means that you are ahead of me on the prospects. I'm currently at 41 players.
No. It's because
41
you play,
and climbing.
It's because you play those games at night.
I have not played a video game in 2 weeks.
You play games at night.
I have not played a video game in 2 weeks.
Folks, if you're out there listening, please encourage Jeff Knightley to watch tape and not play video games.
I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
They're out there saving the world.
There you go.
So you're more than 41 guys in. So on the docket today, we'll talk about some of these offensive tackles.
Oh!
Some of this offensive line. I'll tell you what, I treat offensive line like you treat quarterback, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I hate offensive linemen.
You hate offensive linemen in general, or you just hate evaluating them?
I hate evaluating them because the Cowboys have offensive linemen, so I don't care about them.
But we're
going to do the draft.
We are a full-service drafting show here. It's not just about the Cowboys. Hey, we got... Trust me, I got people reaching out to me, Pittsburgh Steeler fans, Philadelphia Eagle fans, Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans. Come on, man. Let's not just, I know what our bread and butter is.
Aren't telling me about these quarterbacks, Brian.
I do them last.
It's January. I'm going to get there.
No, I'm getting there. But offensive linemen, you have to talk about.
We're going to. I just have watched zero.
Have you looked at the draft order and how many teams need an offensive tackle?
Yeah, and I know already that Wirfs and Wills and Thomas, and there's six dudes going in the first round, I'm going to watch them.
Get ready, man. This is, you talk about your wide receivers being a deep position for first-round guys. This offensive tackle group is going to be fascinating in my book because, you know, to me, there are some guys on this board, and you know, we always kind of say, oh, is that too early to take a guy? You can't take that guy. You can't take this guy. You can't take that position. I think one of those positions you always feel comfortable with is taking offensive tackles, right? If you're a team, don't you always look for the early pick? I know when I was not pissing people off in a draft room, the talk was, what guy can you pick that's safe? What's the guy that's going to give you the most value for 10?
A guard, Zach Martin.
Yeah.
16.
Did that drive you nuts?
By the way, I loved that pick. I was like, oh my God, yeah, he's going to be really good.
Because we weren't really on Manziel. KT was on Manziel.
Yeah, yeah.
That was back
we were on, wait, our guy blocked Aaron Donald at the Senior Bowl, and exactly. His tape is that pretty much flawless. Guy. This is a great pick.
Exactly. But when you start talking about these offensive tackles, especially, you know, I mean, we're going to have to throw a blanket over a bunch of these guys, but I bet you the order, you know, with Wills and my kid from Iowa, I'm going to mess up his
Wirfs.
Name. Wirfs. And then Thomas from Georgia.
Becton
from Louisville. Jackson from USC. Josh Jones from Houston, depending on what you think about him. This Isaiah Wilson's another guy from Georgia. I watched this kid from Boise, Cleveland. He was kind of he's probably more of a second-round guy.
Oh, you hated him.
I did. I was not a huge fan of his. But I'm talking about seven potential first-round offensive tackles right there.
Yeah, and so people go a lot of different places for their draft coverage.
Wirfs. Wirfs, right? Wirfs?
Wirfs.
Yeah.
At least I think. Wirfs. W-I-R-F-S.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Folks, I'm sorry I butcher names. I'm the world's
Get ready for my Auburn corner.
Yeah.
Can't wait to learn his name.
Yeah. I'll buy a vowel, please.
But, you know, you see different mock drafts. I click on all the mock drafts. I'm a mock draft idiot. I love to just look through them and see what people think and see who ends up where. And, oh, what would my choices
real
be
quick,
in this draft?
Would it drive you nuts to do mock draft all the day, all the time? Those people get beat up on those mock drafts.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
The Daniel Jeremiah's, Bucky, but those guys get beat
you know what
up
else they
a
get?
Lot.
Clicks.
Yeah.
People click. Listen, I've done some writing, and if I want to, I can do more writing for this particular draft. I just don't know if I have time, but
I might
click on those.
I might pick you up on that one.
People click on those.
I might pick you up. I might help you there.
But what I wanted to do was
talk about a couple of these cats.
Former Division I center here, Brian Broadus,
back
LSU.
Back in the day. When guys were small.
Give me your order and a brief overview of your view of these offensive tackles, because I've seen them in all sorts of different orders.
Yeah, you know, and I need to figure out my order because I want to do them all first and then put them in order as I see them. But I feel like, though, this Becton kid from Louisville.
Isn't that like 370?
Yeah, well, 365, pretty close.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah.
6'7", 365. Reminds me very much of Flozell Adams. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan out there, the mammoth offensive tackle that was at Michigan State that the Cowboys got in the second round. Same type of body, though. I mean, this guy is massive. He's a left tackle. And people will say, oh, well, Broadus, he's 6'7", 365. He's like the Brown kid from Oklahoma.
Oh, where the combine killed him.
Yeah, where the combine killed him off, and everybody's like, oh, he can't. He's only a right tackle.
Yeah.
He's too big. He's a right tackle. You know what? Don't believe that crap. This guy can play left tackle in the National Football League. And if people start talking that narrative, then they're not watching the tape. But this guy, when you talk about somebody that comes off the ball with movement skills and somebody that's tough, he's a finisher, he tries to hurt defenders. I mean, seriously, he is one of those guys that comes off the ball and he's trying. I was watching the Clemson tape. He got Clemson to quit. Two Clemson players up against him, they quit. Rush up, just quit. You know, I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to try. But the way he's able to get up the field, rushers don't have a chance when he sits down on him. So
that's 370, 365.
Yeah,
down.
That moves.
What
like,
am I going to do?
Yeah, that moves so well. When this guy, he bends his knees, he plays with power. You know, I'm. A lot of people have Wills, the kid from Alabama, as their top guy, and I'll tell you what, he is not a bad player. Now, have you seen Wills? Haven't you?
I've seen some of Wills, and the thing that I've seen from him that I know is that dude moves a lot better than an offensive lineman.
Oh no, he is.
He
is pretty.
Yeah.
He is pretty when you talk about. And you know what? The guy's got some football intelligence. When you see that guys jump in the neutral zone, boom. He's quick. He's not going to let you, like, okay, you want to jump, you want to do
things.
Taking my penalty, moving on, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, this guy doesn't get fooled. Not out of position. You know, knee bend, all the things, hold his ground, upper and lower body strength. I thought, though, about him, though, Jeff, more hand placement than punch. You know, I want to be, you got to be able to stop these rushers from getting up to the corner on you. And he's more of a hand placement guy than a puncher. And I bet you someone's going to have to say, hey, listen, bro, When those guys in the NFL are screaming off the edge,
you might not catch them.
You might not catch that guy. You might want to punch and then settle like you need to. But man, what a really nice player that he is. For
okay,
right there.
So that's two of our offensive tackles on our way to what, potentially five or six in the first round.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just like to say, I think this Andrew Thomas from Georgia. There's another guy, but he's a 6'5", 318 guy. You know, these tackles.
That's not normal.
Yeah, these tackles all have size. Left tackle, though, you could see this guy loves playing football because he tries to finish every play. You know, I mean, you mentioned these top guys, the Becktons and stuff like that. Thomas is a guy that you watch him play at left tackle. He's tough. He's got power. He's smart. You know, he's aware of what's going on around him when you try and run twist stunts and things like that. They're passing it. He's in position. You don't see him get overextended. He can hold his guy along the line of scrimmage. You don't see him get knocked back. That's a lot of times these tackles, you watch them, and they're getting knocked back. Tackles are always responsible, guys, for the width of the pocket. You do not want a tackle that gets pushed down inside every single time. They're responsible for the width. The center and the guard are responsible for the depth. So if you're watching guys out there, if they're keeping guys wide in their tackles, that's a good thing. But if they're getting knocked back and the pocket is squeezing because of their play, that's a bad thing in an offensive tackle. But Thomas, this guy doesn't get knocked back at all. I mean, that's what's been really impressive about him. You know, I was really, really, really impressed by him and what he was able to do. This Austin Jackson is another one, number 73, plays left tackle for USC. 6'6", 308, 508 on that 40. So you could tell right there he's an athlete. I just love the way he goes about his game. I mean, everything is, you know, with the playing speed, the quickness out of his stance, the range, the lateral slide, things like that are just, I mean, these tackles, I'm watching all these guys, and they're big, they're athletic, they've got agility to them. That's what you want, man. You want guys that are, say, keep the width of the pocket, keep those rushers off these quarterbacks. This draft, like you said, has got six guys like that, and I'm sure we'd get down into the second round. Like I say, I was watching a kid yesterday, this Ezra Cleveland from Boise, that felt like against Florida State, it was a good competition for him. Got a little tired. It was hot there in Tallahassee. Got a little wore down. Got a little lazy with his technique. But, you know, there's going to be, that's going to be eight tackles in this draft that, you know, you're going to have to look at. There'll probably be some more as we go further along here in that, you know, in that late second round, third round, fourth round tackles. I mean, that's, everybody's looking for tackles like they're looking for corners. And I just threw out a couple names for you right there.
That's great. And the more the merrier. They go in the top 16.
Yeah. The merrier. If you're a Cowboy fan or you're a fan in the middle of the board, if you're one of those teams picking at 20 or back, because we always talk about where does the first round cutoff usually happen? Somewhere between 18 and 22 on those first round grades. So if you got 20, if you got 22 names and you're picking at 23, you know, and you're sitting there thinking, am I going to get a first-round guy? And they throw in a bunch of those offensive tackles, and it starts driving a guy down to you. Maybe you'll get a guy you want.
Okay, so offensive tackles, that's your very first primer on the offensive tackles here on Trust
and Tape. Plenty more talking about that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And we've also got, in this episode, we'll plan to talk about the local guys. If you are a Big 12 fan, the wide receiver group, those local guys.
I know. Tell everybody we're in Dallas, Texas, right?
We are in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, we're locally. That's where
Dallas, Fort Worth.
Dallas, Fort Worth.
Big reach.
Yeah,
big reach. This is a podcast. We're in the world. Yeah. We have the whole world.
We have the whole world, but yeah, we're in Big 12 country.
You have one center you wanted to mention today, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? I mean, these centers, though, I feel like, though, that that's another one of those positions that you kind of look at and you say, okay, where are those guys?
Are they from Wisconsin?
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. My man is a, and again, here's one of those deals where, you know, Broadus is going to tell you about a guy that is, it's got a funny name to him, but you got to remember this name. Ba'adish from Wisconsin.
What's your confidence level that you said that right?
Be a dish is how you say it. I'm a guy, I believe you. Yeah.
I believe
you. His name's Tyler. He's from Wisconsin. So yeah, keep an eye on him. Also then my guy Cousinberry from LSU, another guy. Need to get some tape on Ruiz from Michigan. And then all Hennessy, though, from Temple. Some guys, there's some centers in this thing, but I don't think there's a first-round center. There's some people that will talk about Cushenberry from LSU as a first-round center, maybe late in the first round.
Oh, you're tough on those LSU guys.
No. I'm not tough. No, I'm not tough on them. I'm not tough. But he's a guy that's a catcher. He's a, you know, that is not a dry blocker. That is a catcher right there, you know, when it comes to it. So, but the Biadasz, you know, we'll have to see probably late two, third round guy for sure right there when you're talking about the
center. So is Cushenberry your top center, though?
Cushenberry would be my top center.
Okay.
Because what happened, though, in when I was doing the centers, you know, I thought that Humphrey, Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma was going to come out.
He didn't.
No, he went back.
So Boomer Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma, is back at the university there in Norman. So Cushenberry now becomes center number one for me.
Okay, two more topics before we get to people's questions that we're going to cover here, or at least two, maybe three.
Are you going to cover any of these guys? I feel like I'm getting a headache talking about all these guys.
Offensive line.
Are you running this thing? Are you just running this thing?
I'm quarterbacking the podcast.
I want some opinions from you in this thing.
Well, you're going offensive line. You know how I do offensive line. Ask me in the late February. I'll handle up on that O-line.
I got a question off Twitter, though, that someone asked for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready for it whenever you want to do it.
Go ahead.
But we can also talk about these linebackers.
Yeah.
The local wide receivers. And the tight ends. And the tight ends, again, you're going to get a headache because I'm just going to be watching you work. That's what I'm working on this week.
Do the local wide receivers. Because you, last night at JC105.3.
I fell in love with another player. It's what I do.
So does this happen on a nightly basis for you, by the way? And if you follow
Nightly. Sometimes I'm watching these players and I hate them all.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes you get a night where you're like, all right, here I go. I'm going through. This guy's supposed to be good.
You never tweet about the hater guys. Is that because you don't want people to hate you?
No, I tweeted about a hater guy yesterday. I tweeted about a guy that I don't see it with that other people do.
Oh, Utah corner?
Yeah, I don't see it with that guy. I see people talking about first, early, second round, and I was like, yeah, maybe in the third, maybe. There's guys that I don't see it with that other people do, okay. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
The local wide receivers. To me, Jalen Reagor is the best one.
Okay.
At least as a prospect,
mm-hmm.
because Jalen Reagor at TCU is one of those guys.
5'10", 196?
Yeah, he's burner,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't play like he's 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
He's not one of these 5'10
guys. Big-time punt returner, by the way, right?
And he's 5'10", but he's not running down the field like, all right, let me wait for it to fall to me. Jalen Reagor will go get your football.
Yeah.
And then good after the catch, electric speed. He'll like be my top local guy.
He's like a running back with that ball in his hand.
Oh,
man.
He's nasty.
He is very nasty. The thing I liked about him is the burst, the lateral quickness. Catching the football, playing on the move, body control, balance, all those things you got to appreciate about his game. You see him
as a slot guy only? No. Heck no.
No.
Put him wherever you want.
Put him on the outside, let him go.
Put him wherever you want. Now,
okay.
Well, I guess technically, does Oklahoma count as local? Because then CeeDee Lamb is the top local receiver.
Yeah, you know.
He's my top receiver, period.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just talk about the guys that are in our backyard. In our state.
Excuse me. The sleeper. Denzel Mims is my guy now.
Baylor.
That's my guy. Denzel Mims is my guy.
Tell me about him.
Okay, so Denzel Mims, let me get to the notes, and I will read notes verbatim.
None of this on your memory, huh? Not yet? Not burned in your memory?
Oh, no, I could do it, but I think if you read the notes verbatim, and the notes will tell you, did I like him as much as I'm thinking I like him, or did I not?
This is kind of like our defensive end from Penn State.
Yeah, whereas like, I kind of like him. Yeah. You go through the notes, you're like, oh, I really like him.
Oh, yeah, he should be a first-round guy.
Denzel Mims at Baylor, over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. He was also really good even as a true sophomore. He's a senior now. So he's been productive for quite some time. 6026, 206. So he's almost 6'3", he's 206 pounds. Movements off the line, shifty and violent.
Ooh.
Decisive mover.
Okay, real quick. Describe violent to somebody when you're talking wide receivers.
So with him, when I'm watching him come off the line.
I mean, is it slap, push, I mean, slapping hands.
And kind of rip, too.
Kind of push you out of the way, guy.
Yeah,
a bully. I like to call that a bully.
It's one of the things where I also think that'll probably have to improve because he can do the same thing kind of down the field when guys are trying to get hands on
sure.
him. Where he'll kind of play it where instead of trying to evade a guy, it's like I can just rip right through this contact and run through it. But I was surprised how well he moves at 6'3 and over 200 pounds. But I think he moves really well. He's able to beat press coverage, has some stick to his movement. You know, that foot goes in the ground,
yeah.
we're changing direction, and
sure.
we're on our way.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind contact in his routes, plays through it. needs refinement as a route runner because he's at Baylor. but at the Senior Bowl, he looked good running routes.
Yeah.
So I think that really helps him.
Mm-hmm. Pro coaching a little bit there, huh?
Yeah. Plays aggressively when he's blocking, long and strong, deceptively good mover, quick when he shakes in his routes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. He's a hand snatcher, great sideline awareness and length.
Okay.
He did drop a game winner on the goal line against Texas Tech.
No.
But they still won the game.
Yeah.
They kicked the field goal to go to overtime.
There
and he made a big play in overtime.
There
they won in double overtime.
Yeah.
But Denzel Mims, I've got him comfortably in the second round. So people who have him on day three, I don't see that happening.
So he's going on day two. So media scouts that have him in the third round or the fifth round or fourth round, whatever, no.
He's going on day two.
Going on day two.
Denzel Mims, Baylor.
We're going to call his name on day two.
We're going to call his name on day two.
Okay, where does he – is there a grouping where he kind of fits in with the other wide receivers that we've talked about? Is there a grouping that we could look at? Do you have that?
I've got
on
him.
That club sandwich board of yours.
I've got him, Laviska Shenault.
Ooh,
Michael
Colorado.
Pittman.
Oh, that now, 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 now.
And Brandon Ayuk, all in the same group.
A lot of people
love
this Brandon Ayuk, by the
way.
He's
just good after catch home run hitter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I trust him as much. He's at the back of that group for me because I don't know if I trust him as much on a play in and play out basis.
Yeah.
But when you get him the ball, he's going to make something happen.
I like Pittman, too. I watched him today.
Oh, I thought you said, oh, no, when I said Pittman.
No, oh, no, in a good.
Oh, okay.
You know, the guy that came to mind for me for Pittman. Was a guy, Anquan Boldin. You know, remember him back in the day? I mean, he was a guy at Florida.
Different builds, different sizes.
No. I'm just saying a guy that people are going to say doesn't run well enough,
right?
But he catches every damn ball. That's what I mean. Yeah, Boldin was 6'1". This other kid's 6'3",
6'4".
Yeah, exactly.
You know who Mims kind of reminds me of? I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I don't care. Brandon Marshall.
Ooh.
Somebody like that.
Oof.
Where it's like it's a lot of size, but he runs well enough. He'll take the ball. He's physical.
Hope he doesn't end up on 17 teams.
Yeah, well, you know, unless he wants to go to 17 teams, I think that's up to him.
Gotcha.
Let me see. Other local guys. Tell me what you think of Devin Duvernay. He was kind of unheralded coming into this year, but Colin Johnson gets hurt. He has 100-something catches.
Didn't know a whole hell of a lot about him.
Built like a running back.
And then all of a sudden, he's like my alma mater, LSU, that when those opening opening weekends, second weekend of the college season, he's catching a million balls and nobody can cover him. All those great corners at LSU, nobody can cover him.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And that he got my attention then. And then if you watch him play throughout, there's a lot of teams that had problems with him. He was one of those, every game it seemed like he was catching 8 or 9 balls. Every game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am all for him. I just think there's a lot of these receivers, and, you know, we could talk about Duvernay. We could talk about Porche from SMU as a guy, you know, that you might want to get into about that. But these guys that go out there, and even when defenses know where the ball's going, they still don't stop guys.
Yeah.
You got to respect guys like that. I think Duvernay fits into that category.
Yeah, I think he'll make somebody a nice slot player in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
That's probably where he's going to end up.
Yeah. No, now you just pigeonhole the guy.
Well, that's where I'd put him.
Yeah.
Where are you going to put him? You going to play him outside?
You know what? If the guy's going to go make plays, I'm going to go put him where he can make plays.
He'll make plays in the slot. That's where he's going to make his plays from.
And the wide receiver whisperer has spoken.
Colin Johnson at Texas, too. He had a great Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten through his tape
been
yet.
Banged up.
Yeah,
hamstring injuries and stuff. Here's another guy that, coming into the year, probably was the number one rated senior wide receiver. And then now you've got the Lambs, the Judys, the Ruggs, the Higgs, Higgins, the Chenaults, Rager, those guys. You got.
Well, those are your underclassmen.
I'm sorry.
Seniors,
you're senior,
Ayuk,
right? Okay, yeah.
Pittman.
I was looking at my list here. That's right. Yeah, Ayuk would be. Ayuk would be. Yeah, he was above Ayuk. Yeah, you're right. The other guys were the juniors. I always make one mistake in these podcasts. God, I hate when I do that. I was just reading the receivers. I looked over. Oh wait, they're all juniors.
Yeah, so,
dumb.
That's why they're at the top.
Dumb A.
Early
declaration. Exactly. Yeah.
What'd you think of Prochet, SMU?
That's another one.
I like him. I don't love him like I love some of the other guys.
What do you not love about him?
I don't know how explosive he's going to be. Like, to me, he's dependable. He's smooth.
Yeah.
He'll catch everything. He'll make some spectacular catches. But I don't – he's got a good catch radius. To me, everything I kept coming back to with him was sort of reliable, does everything right. Like, he comes back to the ball. He's going to find a hole in his zone. He's reliable.
I think the thing that's the most fascinating about is of him is that he runs all day. He never stops. That offense they play in and over at SMU was fast paced. You know, they attack you, and it was catch the ball, throw the ball back to the referee, line up. Catch the ball, throw the ball back to the ref, you know, line up. That's where, you know, I think Bouchelle, the quarterback at SMU, did a really nice job of getting him the football. Another one of those guys that had, you know, every game you knew he was going to catch 8, 9, 10 balls, and there's no way to stop him. I think there is something to a guy that is that reliable, that can run routes as well as he does. I feel like that somebody is going to get a guy that will be a difference. This is a perfect Pittsburgh Steeler draft guy.
Yeah.
Because Pittsburgh always finds the
guy. They got my guy Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
They took my guy.
They always got a guy or two that you go, huh, why'd they pick him? Washington. Why'd they pick him? And then the next thing you know, he's catching.
That's what's going to happen. Prochet's going to turn into Terry McLaurin. It's going to be a guy that I watched last year that I was like, oh, he's solid. And then it turns out it's like, oh, that works.
Exactly. That's what he's going to do. You're right about that.
Is there any other local receivers? That's the last one that I had, at least for where I am in the process right now.
We talked about Rager. We talked about Prochet. We talked about Duvernay. I think you kind of got him covered. You talked about Mims. So, yeah. You haven't done Quandre Davis yet from Texas A&M.
No, I've not. A&M, I've
okay,
not watched
well,
him
yet. That's a down-the-line guy, too. So, okay. I think you got him covered.
Last things that we have before we get to questions, Brian, that we had scheduled today, linebackers and tight ends. Which way do you want to go?
Let's go with the tight ends here, if we could.
All right. Well, then let me just turn this way. Go into interview mode. Brian, tell me about these tight ends.
Yeah, and, you know,
First rounder in the group?
Yeah, I think that, you know, people are, you know, coming out of the Senior Bowl, people were talking about this Adam Troutman from Dayton as being maybe the first tight end taken.
Small school man.
Small school man. You're not going to catch a bounce house in the end zone like you would Ali Marpet at Hobart.
North Carolina A&T, Tariq Cohen film.
But you're going to be playing it looked like to me you were playing at Dayton Independent School District Field.
That's good.
You know,
that's
so
good.
Yeah, so, but Adam Troutman, I think there's a lot to like about him. If your first exposure to him was the Senior Bowl, good for you. It's a shame that in the game that he didn't get more opportunities. But in practices, he was outstanding. You could tell he is the best player on the field. It's like Dallas Goedert when we were watching that North Dakota State film. You know that film? Or was it North Dakota? He's a jackrabbit, right? It wasn't North Dakota State.
He wasn't the ones who won the national championship all the time.
It's North Dakota.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could tell that he was the best player on the field. And this is the same thing with Troutman. They line him up in line.
South Dakota State. There you go.
I said North Dakota, right?
Yep.
South Dakota State. There you go. But, yeah, to me, it's one of those things where you watch this kid play. He plays in line. He plays at a wing. He could, you know, when he gets into his block, he could really make things happen. He could get movement off the snap because of his size. Again, the people he's playing. But in the Senior Bowl, he showed that he could block guys that were, you know, the same size as him. So he could be a matchup problem. He's a bully as a route runner. He'll push. He'll shove. He's bigger than everyone else. He takes advantage of it. He'll adjust the ball wherever it's thrown. He does a great job of extending for it. He tracks it. He goes and gets it. There's some suddenness to his game that I like about this guy. You know, at 6'5", 251 is his height and weight. He works well in tight spaces. He catches the ball well along the sidelines, and he's a natural catcher of the ball. So I can see why people like him. A lot of people have this Cole Kmet from Notre Dame as a guy that might have been the first guy taken. But, you know, he's a 4.68 guy, but I didn't see a guy that played to that time speed. I did not. I saw a guy at 6'6", 255. He'll catch it in his hands. He'll extend to make plays. He's nice on routes that are underneath. I saw more underneath stuff with him than I did. Maybe I need to grab some. Watch Georgia and USC as a couple of games. But they like to bring him in motion and use him as a blocker. I would not say that's his best trait. But then again, Brian Broaddus needs to adjust his mindset.
about tight ends.
Because every time I want to say, complete guy. He's not a blocker. He's not a complete guy. Blocker. Not. Who really? I mean, Kittle
can block.
Kittle can block.
Is that about it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's some tight ends in this league. I mean, we talked about those kids from Iowa.
Yeah.
Last, you know,
Hawkinson can block.
Fant, those guys. I mean, you know, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. these guys, maybe we need to kind of change, or I need to change my attitude about these guys.
So the Washington tight end, Hunter Bryan, is a name that I've heard a lot.
Yeah.
And when you just look at his numbers, the dude, his 3 years in college, 15 yards per catch, 21 yards per catch, 16 yards per catch. That seems fun.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And people argue with you that Hunter Bryan, of the, again, there's a the law firm of Bryant and Bryant. There's a Bryant at
Fort Atlanta.
Harrison Bryant, yeah. So yeah, the law firm of Bryant and Bryant at tight end. This cat, Hunter's at the University of Washington, 6'2", 244 is his height and weight. He's 4'6", 3 in the 40, but he doesn't play like your traditional tight end. Like I say, that's why your numbers on the average are going to be high. He's not going to line up in line. He's going to play as a wing or an H. I've seen him line up as a fullback. The staff likes to move him around. I've seen him play all these spots in different scheme. He's not the type of blocker, though, Jeff, that's going to dig you out. You know, he's not. He's going to go in there. He's going to fit. He's going to out-athlete you is what he's going to try and do. Now, as a fullback on the edge when they were running the toss, and he got to the edge, he tried to deliver a blow. But mainly he's going to be more of a shoulder, get in the way, kind of stalemate blocker. That's kind of his stuff. But I'm focusing in him as a down-the-field player. Really good athlete with the movements. He's not stiff. He's not tight. He'll play wide, slot. It doesn't matter. He just in route. The ball thrown his direction. He's got soft hands. He'll extend. He had a double catch against Arizona I saw on a flat pass. But other than that, everything was really, really clean about him. So body control, balance. There's a lot to really like about this player. And people will argue with you. They'll say, Broadus, he's not a traditional tight end. Well, I don't think we're playing with traditional tight ends in the National Football League anymore.
Where do you think those guys are? Where do you think they get picked? Where are you looking at them?
Well, you know what? To me, I think they're gonna overdraft Kmet. I think that now Troutman to me could be like a 1-2, and then now we're starting to get into okay, where do you feel about Kmet? I don't see him as being a 1, but somebody will overdraft him. Maybe we get down to the bottom of the board the first round. Somebody's looking for a tight end, and they'll say, okay, well, Troutman, I think, will be the first one gone, I just from what I've seen. So now, I haven't seen the kid from Florida Atlantic yet. I haven't seen the other Bryant yet. But the three that I've done, I really do like Troutman, Bryant, and Kmet as my guys. And I'm not going to back down on that about Bryant, because I think in this day and age, with the way you play in the National Football League, you make plays down the field, use your tight end. We're going to see it at the Super Bowl this weekend. The tight ends are going to be a factor in that game down the field, catching the football, not blocking on the edge.
Linebacker is the last thing that we have on the docket today. Isaiah Simmons is awesome, and unless you have a pick in the top 10, you can't have him. But other than that, who are some of the top guys? I've seen two of the other top guys, Kenneth Murray, and I'm not done with, but I started watching your guy, Patrick Queen, at LSU.
Yeah, tell me about Patrick Queen a little bit, if you like.
Patrick Queen's kind of old school.
Yeah.
Patrick Queen wants to hit you. Patrick Queen.
6'2", 233
on him. Dude, he takes joy. And I think a lot of times he'll react really quickly. You know, like, let's take a trap play.
Yeah.
You got somebody coming across. You got an offensive lineman coming across. Like, he'll see that coming. And that play's getting squeezed because Patrick Queen is coming in there like a rocket ship to try to destroy an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So I think he can react well. I think he's so physical, and I think he's really athletic too. So just those traits alone, because he's not the most reliable tackler.
Right.
I've seen him miss tackles.
Oh, there's some LSU guys that'll do that to you. They'll hit you, and then they'll not make a tackle.
Yes. Yeah. So he's not the most reliable tackler, I bet you those physical traits will be enough that he gets picked somewhere around the 20s?
Wow.
Maybe the 30s?
So maybe a team. Are you saying he might be the last first-round player on people's boards?
Yeah, I could see that. And I can see the same thing with Kenneth Murray, the Oklahoma linebacker.
Okay, now, with Murray, I really do like Murray a lot.
That dude can fly around.
Yeah.
That's sideline to sideline.
Yeah, and the thing that really impressed me about Murray was, here's a guy that just never, ever, ever comes off the field, you know? I mean, he is constantly, when you watch him play, I mean, he is just a nonstop motor. I mean, to me, like the football intelligence, the playing speed, the closing burst, He can close ground when working towards the ball. Lateral quickness puts him in position to make plays. Body control, balance. He's rarely knocked off his feet. The thing that might be a problem for him is he could be a little too aggressive.
Agreed.
He could come flying in there and miss a play.
You got the same note.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though, you know, he brings ball carriers down in their tracks.
Yeah.
He is a sure tackler, and he does a great job of avoiding blocks to get to the ball carrier and bring him down. I 6'2", 243, 4.67 on the speed.
He might run better than
that. Yeah, he's going to test really, really well. And you just watch the tape. You watch him play. It's play after play. You don't have to go. It's like, Oh, where is he? Oh, he's at number 9. Oh, there's a play. Oh, there's a play.
Blitzer,
oh,
coverage.
Coverage, I
tell you, the one place where that the note you have about can be too aggressive keeps showing up for me, or at least a handful of times, is when they're running to the outside, he's going.
Yeah.
And when there's a cutback, he will miss because he's gone.
Yeah.
He's a really aggressive player, and I think that's the one thing that he'll have to work on is make sure we're in control.
I talked about that, the body control and balance, and it should have been more of a because I talk about the note of him overrunning, and I have that note in my as well. But I just really, really like the player a lot. I mean, but if you want to go another direction, my pet cat in this draft is Zach Braun from Wisconsin.
230-pound edge.
Yeah, and I know there's some people who are going to freak out about being 6'2", 227, 230. I know you're going to freak out about that. But this guy has got some physical toughness to play on the edge, and he's got some strength, and he's got some power to hold. Watch the Ohio State games. I mean, he played, you know, in the two times this year, he played Ohio State, and both times, you know, Ohio State's got some quality blockers. And so, I mean, he's handling those guys, but he's got outstanding playing speed and quickness. He can really close things down. He can chase the ball from the backside. He's got redirection skill with range because he gets in on plays that you feel like that he's got no shot of making. And he's like, where'd that? Oh, 56. There. Oh my God. You know, because he's got that kind of ability. Reactionary athlete. When he sees a play, he can go make it. I talk about body control and balance. I don't see him getting knocked around or knocked off his mark. He's able to anchor down at the point. He plays off blocks to get to the ball. He's got some bend as a rusher. He really, really does. And you can
Wisconsin
see
Wisconsin just keeps turning out these good edges that are too small, too small, and they play.
He could get around the corner. He can make stops. He's best when he could play around the line. I've seen him drop in some zone coverage stuff, but don't do that. Make him attack the ball. Let him run.
You're playing him at right D end in the NFL?
Well, I'm playing him as an outside linebacker, though, is what I'm doing. I'm playing him like an off-the-ball linebacker.
But we're rushing the passer.
Rushing the passer on certain down and distance, but I'm getting after you is what I'm doing with this guy.
Any questions from the people today?
One more guy, if I real quick.
Oh.
People are talking about...
Excuse me.
No. Maybe a down-the-line guy. People have kind of talked about this Troy Dye from Oregon. I thought he was a competitive guy. I like the way he took on the ball carrier and the physical toughness not to be moved. He appears to run well enough, but there's some tightness to this guy's game. Talking about a 6'3", 218-pound guy that plays as an inside linebacker that probably should be on the outside. There's some pop to him, his hands, but he doesn't do much blitzing. So I don't really know, you know, where he totally fits. But if you hear the name Troy Dye, outside linebacker from Oregon, that's kind of a guy that will be in the mix in that. Not a first-day guy. We'll see if where somebody has him maybe in the second day for sure.
Brian, you do a great job of promoting the brand, the Trust the Tape brand, the podcast, by tweeting out before we record.
Yeah, for questions.
Do the people have anything good for us today? Anything good for us today,
I need to.
I thought you said earlier in the podcast, you said, I got a question for you that somebody had
for
you.
I do, and a guy wanted me to ask you about day 3 wide receivers. And so let me I should have pulled that up on my
Day 3. We're too early for day 3. They're all going on day 2. So, all of
but
them.
You think
which means one of them will fall in your lap.
Okay, but you feel like that there's going to be somebody on day 3 when you get down to it. Yeah. Justin Kessler. Thank you for listening, Justin. Day 3 wide receivers that the Cowboys could target.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be names that we might be surprised are there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an NFL where everybody plays 3 wide receivers.
Right.
So maybe there can be that many taken. But I've watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I've watched 13 receivers And if any of them is available with the Cowboys' fourth round pick, I'll take them in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be 8 to 10 more names that fit in that group.
Okay. Okay. How about our another question from Derek Wagonick? I think is how you say his last name. If I butchered again, you know the drill, guys, for sure. He wants to know if Epinesa.
You might be saying it right. I don't know.
That's Epinesa. Epinesa. Does he project as a left end for you? And how do you see him?
Could he
be a guy at 17?
Like, you're talking about those tight ends and how the world's different now.
Epinesa.
I kind of don't care which end you play. Because DeMarcus Lawrence is playing the left end. Can he play on the right? Absolutely. Could I take Epinesa at 17 and pair him with DeMarcus Lawrence and feel pretty good about life? Absolutely. Because I know I've got two monsters against the run that can also get me sack production. So do I consider him at 17? Absolutely.
Okay. Caleb wants to know if you decide to address, again, we're getting these Cowboy questions here.
So, jerks.
But, you know, if you're maybe this is a good question for if you decide to address your D-line in the front end of the draft, what are some of the names I need to know addressing my cornerbacks and safety depth and the back end of the draft?
See, you guys are doing questions for when I'm 300 players in, and that's messed up. Okay.
All right, but think about that.
I have a day job.
No, we think about this. Okay.
That is a question for mid to late February, Brian.
But think about this though. If we're going to address if it's a Cowboy related question, Cowboys are likely, and you and I talked about this. The Cowboys are likely to address the safety position because there's going to be more names at tackle and end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the quality of the safety is going to die.
Yes.
Maybe after
the first round.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Winfield yet.
Yeah, I need to watch him too.
But to me, if I want to pick a safety and feel really good that he's a step-in starter that helps my team, I got two names on the list.
Go ahead.
That's what I've got. I got Grant Delpit and I got Xavier McKinney.
Right.
And I'm a Delpit guy.
Yeah.
I'm looking for turnovers.
Right.
So, and that's kind of it. So I could totally see. Now,
and then
this doesn't
depending on what you think about Davis from
right,
now, which you
second, third round.
Yeah.
So I think you see those two names right there at the top, and depending on how you've stacked your first round, I wouldn't say if they get on the clock and they say, okay, our 10th best player is on the board.
Yeah.
And one of these safeties is our 18th best player, but we can't get one later. Take the 10th best player. We're in the first round. If you have a clearly better player, take him. But the draft itself, I think, sets up where the safety makes a lot of sense in the first round because I have right now, let's see, I've got 5 second round defensive tackles, maybe 6. I've got 5 second round defensive ends.
Yeah.
I've got 6 second
Again,
round wide
receivers. We've established on this show already that you and day two, that Will and those guys can leave the room, that you can draft in the second round.
Yeah, I'll handle that for him.
All right,
but the Auburn corner in the second round.
Okay.
His name's Noah. I'll just call him Noah.
Yeah.
Because
you got to learn how to pronounce that. Welcome to my school and not be able to make these names right.
Igbinogene.
Okay.
Igbinogene.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let me ask you this real quick. Okay, if Kinlaw and Delpit are on the board.
I'll take Kinlaw. I have Kinlaw
way ahead.
Comfortably higher.
Okay, if you find out that he's got the knee issue and all that stuff.
Yeah, we'll
go
Delpit. Yeah.
You go Delpit?
Yeah, we're not here for the hurt guy. Not in the first round. I'm not here for hurt guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. But
so
I do think that's the way this thing stacks up, is that a lot of your needs can be filled later, especially I would love a second round defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
Jordan Elliott, Missouri. That's my pet cat defensive tackle, by the way.
Guy, yeah. Oh, is that your other pet cat?
That's my other pet cat.
I need to watch him. He's on my list to do today.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
This is me learning as a scout.
Yeah.
I didn't love Chris Jones coming into the NFL.
Mm.
And Jordan Elliott, I think, is kind of similar.
Uh-huh.
Where does he do everything right? No. Is his pad level right? No. Does he use his length all the time? No. But he's still big, strong, athletic enough to be in the backfield all the time and be hard to block. And it's like, what are you if I get you playing right?
Yeah.
A monster.
Yeah.
So Jordan Elliott, that's my second round pet cat at the moment.
Right.
But I mean him, Matabike, Neville Gallimore, Blacklock at TCU, even Davidson at Auburn, who played end at Auburn.
I think you
kick
might
him
be,
inside.
I think you might your A&M defensive tackle.
Uh-oh, you don't like him?
You might be a little high on that one.
Oh, that's my guy. That's my guy at initial quickness.
Yeah, the initial quickness
in the
is good.
No. Pressure the
good.
Quarterback?
But did you feel like he kind of disappeared some? He was off the field a lot, too.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, I
watched him against Clemson tap out one time. I'm thinking, bro, we can't tap out
against
Clemson.
People tap out. Zeke taps out all the time. Yeah. What are we worried about?
Yeah.
Who's your second-round D tackles? Who do you like?
Let me tell you about my second-round D tackles.
Who do you like before we get out of here?
Well, I think that, to me, okay, I'm more of the I don't think that Gallimore's a first-round tackle.
I don't either. I think you're betting on upside and traits with him. The production's not there. He's a fifth-year guy.
Medibuke, I think that, you know, there's things about him that you're not terrible, but I wouldn't – he's more of a 2-3 to me.
Okay.
Just looking. Roquan Davis from Alabama.
I have not watched him.
Yeah, that's more of a
– You sound like you don't want a second-round D-tackle. You sound like you don't love that group.
I don't. But then again, I got to look at your guy, Elliott.
Get you some Elliott in your life.
You know, Futo.
Where you got Futo? Futu. I have him in the third. Where do you have him?
I think he's a third-round player, too.
Yeah. You're not going to get sacks out of him, but...
He's a massive guy, man.
Yeah, and he's got good movement.
I'm interested to see Elliott, then, because I want to be able to... Because I've got Brown, Kinlaw, and then now let's start talking about second-round guys.
Right, me too. Me too, but I have a lot of second-round guys, which
dump some of these in the third round.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go revisit my A&M kid, I guess. All right, that'll do it for Trust the Tape today. Make sure you're following Brian Broaddus at Brian Broaddus on Twitter. I'm at JC1053. We appreciate you, and we will see you next week for episode 4 of Trust the Tape.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.